First, though, Ebola. The 2014 outbreak of the deadly disease was so severe that the World Health Organization is calling it the year Ebola challenged humanity, a challenge which remains every bit as urgent in 2015. So far, some 7,500 people have been killed by the disease, with Guinea, Sierra Leone and Liberia the most seriously affected countries. Death rates in previous outbreaks have varied from 25 to 90%, depending largely on the care that patients receive. From Liberia, Laura Zalm-Reiferscheid brings us the story of one lucky survivor, and her name, appropriately, is Comfort.
Comfort sits on a wooden bench outside her house that lies just a little off the main road of her hometown, Banga, in northern Liberia. In black paint, "Welcome, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year" is written on the white wall of the house. Next to Comfort sits her tall, slender husband, Dennis. It is late in the afternoon and the couple are feeding their chickens that are running around the courtyard. The small woman with elegant features smiles cheerfully.
I appreciate and thank God ever so much every day for having my life.
I thank God every day for having my life back again, to be a newborn baby again.
The 53-year-old is a survivor. She has won the fight against Ebola. Since the beginning of the outbreak, more than 8,000 people have contracted the deadly virus in Liberia. The death rate is around 70%. Comfort, dressed in a black top and colourful skirt, will always remember the day she got infected with Ebola. It was the 14th of September. Back then, she was working as a nurse at the local hospital. The staff had been on leave for some time, as in the summer, nurses and doctors had contracted Ebola from patients and consequently died. It was supposed to be Comfort's first day back at work. As always, she took the bus to the hospital. A man moved from the aisle seat to the window to make space for her, and so she sat on this last available seat. Only later, she found out that the man was already very sick.
I see that was infected.
I took the infected seat. He'd been having diarrhea the whole night. That's what he said when they carried him to the emergency room. Before they could even get his results, he was dead. So all along I thought I had Ebola.
A few days later, the first symptoms set in. Her joints, neck and head started to ache, followed by diarrhea and fever. But she was lucky, as she didn't have to take the tiring journey to Monrovia. The organization International Medical Corps had just opened an Ebola treatment unit in Bong County, only 30 minutes from her home. Comfort was one of the first patients there. Although she was already quite sure that she had Ebola, the results from her blood test frightened her.
Then I started crying.
I started crying because I had so many friends that had gone for treatment to Monrovia and they had died.
We all died. So I started crying.
Comfort's husband, her six children and grandchildren were quarantined in their house for 21 days to monitor if any of them had been infected. Her eldest son, Jimmy, is a student at the local Cuttington University. Because of the Ebola outbreak, all the universities and schools were closed until further notice. When his mother was taken to the ETU, the whole family gathered. That was a horrible moment, remembers Jimmy.
She said to everybody, "Goodbye. I'm not going to come back again. Take care of each other. Love each other." We were weeping and crying. I said to myself, "Yesterday was the last day I saw my mother. I'm never going to see her again." I was crying. My sister said, "You are now the head of this family, along with our daddy. So if you cry, who will take care of us? Who will we go to now for advice? So you've got to be strong." That's when I stopped crying.
While confined to their compound, Comfort's family had to deal with the reactions of the community. Their neighbors avoided them. Some didn't want Comfort's children to get water from the communal well. All this time, Comfort was fighting for her life. For 10 days, she couldn't eat or even get out of bed. To get water to go to the toilet, she had to crawl on all fours. But then she started to feel stronger.
On the 10th, 11th day, I started feeling hungry. I called my son and said, "Try and bring me some food. I am hungry." I couldn't get up on my own.
Some days later, Comfort's blood results come back negative. She was handed a certificate, a proof that she's no longer infectious. Finally, she could return to her family. The neighbors rejoiced with her. Recovered from the disease, Comfort rides the bus to the Ebola treatment unit every day in the hope that she can help other victims recover, just like she did.
I decided to help the Ebola patients because people helped me. People really helped me. They could come to my bedside. If I was weak, they would stand by me. So I told them, if I live, I will come back to serve the center for a while before returning to work.
Today, Comfort is working the night shift at the ETU. Those patients who are strong enough sit outside in the high-risk area under the starry sky and watch an animation movie on a white sheet. Unlike other people entering the red zone, Comfort does not have to don a full protective suit, 3 pairs of gloves and safety goggles. As a survivor, she's immune to the virus. This makes her indispensable in the fight against Ebola. She can have direct contact with patients, hold children in her arms, and encourage the sick in their fight for survival. But this evening, a sad task awaits Comfort.
The baby and myself here.
A baby and myself are here because the mother has been transferred to the confirmed ward. So it's only her baby and me in the suspect ward tonight.
In suspect ward tonight.
With a baby bottle, Comfort enters the tent for suspected cases. During this night, she will be the surrogate mother to a baby that is just a few months old, knowing the baby's mother may not survive. But Comfort is also the bearer of hope. Because she survived, others hope that they will be lucky enough to escape the disease too.